After Aroma's exposition, I want to bring it down a little bit and okay, but maybe you'll rise, who knows. Look, I mean, I want to pick it up from your about design, you know, and I think, you know, I could say easily that I came for the galaxy, and galaxy's been around for 40 and more years. And I think at a time in Orwell's beginnings, the galaxy had a great possibility and a relevance. And if it would have taken shape within 10 to 15 years when Orwell started, I think we would all be busy with something else and not debating on what to build, how to build, where are the roads. We would have been given a fait accompli and then we could have lived with it. But the fact is that it has not happened. And I feel that after 40 years, we should just take a moment, you know, just as an academic interest to, you know, any good design is as good as the brief you create. There has to be a brief to start working on a design. So Orwell should rewrite its brief about what is going to happen in the light of the 40 years of experience of what has happened or what has not happened, rather. And then see what kind of a city we want. I don't think most of us want to hold on to the charter and then the basic essential message or the idea of Orwell. But how is it to manifest itself in the physical? This is a big question which is being discussed to death, if I can say so. And now I think if we can, you know, if just for a moment, let's imagine that Orwell is just going to begin. So there is a design brief has to be created. And if we ask people, what are the elements of this design you want it to be in the brief? I would say, look, we don't know how many people will be there in 5 years. We don't know how much money we have. We don't know how much land we will have. Just these three elements should form a design brief. You know, that already gives you a certain design restriction. It doesn't mean a negative restriction, but a creative restriction. So like that, if we can check what's happened and then try to come up with something, and you know, the land holding has a certain pattern. We have all the maps. We can say that, look, this is what we have and these are our problems. We are too scattered, we are too spread out. We can't build dense enough. And also that's another problem of Orwell, is that all architectural pieces, good, bad, and the ugly, like I call, are such that they have to have a space of 20, 30 meters between them, because you cannot put them next to one another, because we don't have a design concept which can hold these together, that different architects can work next to one another like any urban scene. So, you know, the trees are the biggest saviors of Orwell's architecture. And while we are keeping space open for the future certain buildings, anything can happen in between. So we are getting just totally lost. So I think a design brief, I very much like your idea about the design exercise. I don't think we should just do it with an open spirit, just to see what comes out. We can throw it out of the window after it's there.
I really resonate with what you're saying on the design brief, saying so much and the difficulty of creating that here. I would just say that what Peter raised in terms of extending the brief to address the issues of the time, which is a lot about living within constraints and building something that is sustainable, absolutely, at the physical level, that's an important expansion, as you say, and readjustment or realignment of the vision to reality. And I think that that would be a really interesting exercise in its own right if you don't get carried away with it. The other thing is, going back to my presentation last night and how you move forward on difficult issues, this is a big space. And yes, you're building some eternal buildings, and that's some of the beauty and exceptional aspects of Orwell, is that we used to do that a lot and we don't anymore, and Orwell is, and that's a wow, so fun to be here. But I think At the same time, a lot of your buildings are not eternal buildings, and that was true even of those beautiful villages in Europe we go to now. They were not built in one day or one generation. It was a process of iteration and perfection, and people recognize what's beautiful and they keep it, and the rest goes away. And in that context, I have two things to say. One is that all of us, designers or not, get confused by the reality we're dealing with and thinking it's permanent. And it's an illusion in many respects, not just from a spiritual consciousness point of view, but even from a physical point of view, it changes very quickly. And cities all over are transforming faster than anybody remembers. You forget somehow easily what it was like, and you have to keep reminding the newcomers or yourself. You couldn't see, you could see the ocean from here before and so forth, and that it takes a lot to maintain the existing environment as well. So things are not as fixed as we assume. And that is so true everywhere. It's big effort to just keep it like this, and it will change on its own anyway, so that, don't get caught into the sense that there are big constraints on where you go from here because somebody's built somewhere, some building or something like that. The second point is about that catalyst project idea and experimentation. If you can build some confidence that there's a learning process here, and some evaluation against the brief or the performance objectives, it makes it a little easier to get critics and skeptics on side. It's an experiment, let's try it out and learn from it. And I think you could have actually a number of experiments happening in parallel with a group like this and a property like this. And so if we're moving towards not a blueprint or roadmap, but a set of really important learning projects from which we're going to then start to set directions, that makes it easier to get everybody on board, and in fact is more appropriate, I think, for this type of group and the time we're in. So anyways, that's my response.
I'd like to say something.
There are two people in line, rather.
What's the line?
Sorry, make
the line.
Keep the
mic ready at least.
Sorry, Tuan. Didn't mean that. Well, my name is Ranjit. I'm an architect. I'm just a newcomer to the community. I think what the original idea, the ideals of Auroville, what the mother said or didn't say, what Roger envisioned or didn't envision, what the galaxy was supposed to be, is or is not, I think all of that is perhaps something that is best dealt with by people who are on a certain spiritual high plane. But since you all are experts in sustainable design and you've done many projects across the planet with all of the technologies and ideas that you have, I just wanted to ask you if perhaps you could take a look at the Galaxy Plan just in terms of its planning perspective and tell us how sustainable it is in terms of its mobility pattern, in terms of its it's supposed to be envisioned for only 50% green coverage. And various aspects of it, like the lines of force, which are supposed to be multi-storied buildings, which can only be built with certain materials. And maybe if you go next door to the construction sites, there's one here and there's one there, and there are a couple in the residential zone that are going on right now in Auroville. And you could perhaps enlighten us as to how sustainable the current building practices are within the city. Because I suppose that being your area of expertise, you could advise us best as to what is going on right now in Auroville. Because what was done in the past, all of the very beautiful little huts and the very scenic things that were going on in Auroville, those were done with certain programmatic requirements that didn't exactly, those are supposed to be temporary in many ways in terms of what the galaxy was supposed to eventually be. Now, in the crystallization of the galaxy's concept, the things that are coming about are quite massive, using materials that are rather unsustainable and very, when you're calling it urban, very, very questionable design patterns are emerging. So I thought perhaps you could advise us on that. That is one, that's a physical aspect of it. The second thing I wanted to ask you for perhaps some insight on is that somebody yesterday asked about, I don't remember who it was, but one of the projects that was done, they asked, what is the mechanism to draw the social content to these projects? These projects are being developed by somebody. So what are the parameters upon which people would want to go in for those sustainable towns or cities or whatever? Because in Oroville, there's a certain problem that I've observed in the small time I've been here, is that it's an aging community, that's number one. And number two, the demographic is not very well dispersed. I mean, it doesn't have the variety that's required for a vibrant community. And even the community itself, a large number of people are either not on site for a significant time of the year or are seeking livelihood elsewhere. Because the economic structure, the social structure, the various structures in place are not exactly very conducive for a comfortable lifestyle. And that's what people seek in this day and age. And let's not make any jokes about it. I mean, not everybody is, I mean, that hardcore to abandon everything and come to a spiritual community. And therefore, Oroville's having a slight recruiting problem. You know, so I just wanted to know if you had any insights on that.
You,
yeah.
Yeah, sure.
To me afterwards, not having a recruiting problem.
We are not having a recruiting problem at all.
That's not true.
In terms of evaluating what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think your direct question is a very simple question, which is it possible to evaluate the original concept in relation to current needs and issues? And the answer to that is yes, clearly it is possible. And it's a sort of exercise that we both do all the time. One of the first things we ever do when we go to a place is we're asked to do a review of an existing scenario in relation to the current conditions, and we do that all the time. So the answer is yes. I don't think there's much else to say, really, unless you want to say.
So the next question, will you do it?
Yeah. I'm lucky to be in this line because it continues with exactly the points that Arrow started and Ajit and then Ranjit. The point is that the design brief, which is very, very critical to follow the process that Sebastian has outlined, is typically interpreted as a physical design brief by non-designers. And that's a very, very real danger we should stay away from. It's not so much of a question as a rectangle or a spiral or an ellipse or whatever geometrical shapes that we can imagine to interpret our requirement. I mean, there should be a deeper engagement with the brief, whether it is the social, whether it's the ecological, livelihood. I mean, it depends on where you want to go. And that is where the charter really becomes the backbone of the entire brief, because that is not open for compromise. Nobody is meddling with the original one saying, okay, this is dated, we don't want to go this way. That's not open for compromise. But to interpret it in purely physical terms, saying I'll put a circle or a square or a tall building or whatever, and this is a very, very physical manifestation, somehow shortchanges the entire charter and the community in the long run.
Maybe I could be a bit more specific. If I could just be a little bit more specific about the methodology. We actually do create a sustainable development framework which has very specific social, economic, and environmental requirements, but they're not all of the requirements that you could imagine. They're very specific priorities that the community decide. It's not an intention to cover every single aspect. It's saying these are actually our priorities. We know that the other things are there, but we really want to focus on these things, and that drives things. And what we then do is we don't then move to a very detailed solution. What we then do is create a performance specification, which is like a performance specification that is an interpretation of the requirements, which then is then used to design every part of the ongoing future. So the individual expression of design and creativity can then come out within that overall specification. So there's another intermediate stage, which is we call it a performance, a sustainable development guidelines document for a community, which actually allows huge amounts of creative design at the detailed level and interpretation and richness of diversity. I've got examples of that I could share with you at some stage.
Yeah, three brief comments on the first question of Sebastian about spiritual life and material life. I think Sri Aurobindo has, as far as I have understood, been probably the first to break the dichotomy between spiritual life or material life, which is always a debate. In fact, I don't even like the sentence, the spiritual dimension of our will, because there is no spiritual dimension of our will and a separate material dimension. One is in the other. So that is one. The second thing is on the roadmap. At the macro level, Sri Aurobindo has given a roadmap which takes us, hopefully, through various levels of consciousness, ultimately leading to the transformation of matter itself as a final stage in the yoga, even if you can call it final. And that would mean that, in fact, he has described in books like The Life Divine and in the Synthesis of Yoga, that by integrating all these systems of yoga that existed, you can actually, in life itself, without escaping to a monastery or a cave and meditate, in life itself, you can bring down all these yogas and then actually transform life and eventually transform matter. And that, according to me, is the real macro-level roadmap of our will. Then the mother, after having managed the ashram for a couple of years, which is a community of about 2,000 people, I think, she conceived an additional experiment in addition to the ashram called our will, to do that experiment at a level of about 50,000 people and in an urban environment rather than in an ashram environment. Maybe because she thought that that could be another way of trying to accelerate this growth of consciousness. She never asked Roger to design a galaxy. Let's be very clear about that. She asked Roger to design a township. She gave the broad parameters. She explained to him what the purpose of the township is. It has to be a laboratory of evolution. It will be the cradle for the new consciousness. It will be a place to develop human unity. She gave five or six of these parameters, and she asked him, you design in our township. And in fact, the first sketches which he developed, and he developed a lot of sketches. I mean, we would like to share them with you in the afternoon if you are free. The first ones were just concentric circles, even rectangular. Then he developed some sketches around the mother symbol, which is, you know, the 12 segments. And he kept on sending those sketches, and he kept on bringing those models, and he used to visit Pondicherry very often. And once he started developing what we now call the galaxy, which was nothing that he basically turned around this model symbol into an angle, getting these lines of force, as we call them. Then the model said, now you caught my vision. And she asked him to develop it further. That we call this today a galaxy is just a manner of saying, what we should actually call it is the catching of the vision. So the debate is not about whether we want a galaxy or not. The debate is, or the discussion is, do we want to manifest that vision, or do we want to reinvent the wheel? Almost literally, because it is round. So coming now to the roadmap of our wheel, and that's my final comment. In fact, there is a very, very clear roadmap in four documents. One is the charter, but before that, there was a very small page, one-page document called the vision, where the mother says that she had a dream of a place, and there she describes something what we call today our wheel. The third document, which I strongly recommend you to read, is the True Aurovillian, where she has given either six or eight, I don't remember, values that the Aurovillians are supposed to follow. One of them is, for example, to lose the sense of personal possession. And then there is the plan of the town. Now, these are the four pillars, and actually, according to me, they give you the roadmap that don't see that city as a purpose by itself. It is just an instrument to achieve that change of consciousness. The center theme of Sri Aurobindo's yoga, as I've understood it, is man is a transitional being. He is not the final product of the evolution, fortunately. So our will is just one of the many instruments, and I don't think we can claim exclusiveness, one of the many instruments to accelerate the evolution from A to B, because we are in transit. And then once we have reached B, maybe another person will say, no, actually you're not there yet, there is C. But it is to accelerate this transition. Therefore, our will is not a purpose by itself. It's only an instrument, and one of many instruments.
Thank you, Tuan. Thank you.
And in continuation of what Tuana says regarding the roadmap, I would like to say that also, I have to introduce myself to some of you. My name is Luigi. I'm living here since 30 years, and for 20 years I had the privilege to work with Roger in this exploration, which for me brings us to a reflection which is not only speaking of roadmap, but also speaking of a path of spiritual adventure, because fundamentally is this. And then you have all the different layers, up and down. But first, let me express my gratitude for the music you are playing with us in this room, and which I like it very much. This, for me, is the beginning. We had also other occasion in other area, field. Is the beginning of Mother Envisage as a university of human unity, or a world university, whatever we want to call it, whereby the experience from inside Auroville and the experience from outside Auroville comes together to create, we will call it a creative design, something new. The first things I would like to share with you is that the galaxy can be understood only by an inner connection, what Aramara also conveyed to us. And it cannot be mentalized or analyzed in by pieces. It is something you feel or you don't feel, like a yantra in the Indian culture. And working with the spiral form for so many years, I have seen that there is an enormous energy, life energy, but universal life energy, which not only is in the macrocosm, is in the microcosm, but it is also in our DNA, in our cell, we have that. And isn't there a relation between building an organic body, a city, which is a cell in the body of the earth, and sometime healthy, sometime also with cancerogenous effect, when the development we have seen are unsustainable and dishuman? Isn't there a relation between this universal force and the universal township which we are building? In that sense, it is an incredible discovery, because this force, it is also a force which turns all the energy, all the different components of this society, which are incredibly intercultural, multicultural. We are the DNA, with all our limitation, with all our background of humanity. And we hope to have more of this DNA to make the laboratory more and more interesting. But we are discovering on the way. Also, at the same time, is the balance between structure situation in the positive sense, let's say the vision, the charter, the dream, the scope of Auroville, which tried to create also a new humanism, going with values which are very difficult to translate into matter, and at the same time going down to the most practical aspect of environment, of socioeconomic, of development, all these challenging. So all this complex situation, according to me, is very well expressed in the symbol of Sri Aurobindo. In the symbol of Sri Aurobindo, you have an ascending triangle which express the aspiration from below of the people, of the earth, of the natural elements. But you have also a triangle coming from above which express the vision, the grace, whatever we want to call. And the square at the center of this meeting point between these two triangles, it is the perfect, at least what Mother has defined, is the perfect manifestation, or the aspiration toward this perfect manifestation. Isn't this adventure and this mission which we have received to build a universal township, to build universality first in ourselves, and to build also a universal township, which none of us has an idea of what, but maybe which we are discovering through all our trial and errors. Second point is, working with Roger, I learned not only this incredible intuitive connection with the vision, but also an incredible flexibility contrary to what has been perceived outside. Because for Roger, there were few basics. There are few basics. Of course, the Matrimandir, the four zones, the line of force as a creative research on non-vertical building, but as zero impact building as far as possible. And the rest, it was fitting perfectly in what you say, Sebastian. The rest was a creative, joyful play. And in some occasion, we have that when it was question, you may remember, of Matrimandir Garden. Sevitir and Rovilian came together playfully trying to create the Matrimandir Garden. And in other occasion, there was this trial. It didn't work for a number of reasons. But this creative, joyful design may be something we have to rediscover between us so that, like children in a kindergarten, we play like Lego. And we forget, we play with Lego, but we forget the ego. And to conclude, you see, I remember an episode which one was present in Venice with Roger. We were in a pizzeria. And it was a question to decide about the pizza. And finally, between the various options, pizza margherita, this and that, we decide for a four season because we have four zones in Auroville. And we ask the man who was making this pizza to put a tomato in the middle. He actually came with the tomato because we have a big building in the middle, round one. So he came with a tomato. And then when it was questioned, what shall we put? Mozzarella? Shall we put tuna fish? That it was the creative moment because that is what, that it was where you build something in a framework. You decide the basic structure, and that you have to agree. But the play of the ingredients, the play of the different layer, this is part and parcel what we can joyfully live together. Last is, there are all the difficulties in Auroville. There are the incredible challenges, but for me, every day, it's a day of gratitude. Every day I open and I see the sun in this place. I am very grateful inside that in spite of all the difficulty we go through, we have been given such an opportunity to experiment such an adventure and for human unity. Thank you.
Okay, here I have to say something. What you saw just now, I mean, I'm serious. This is now really the pizza, the tomato is what we are dealing with. Because a literal interpretation of the symbolic stuff, you know, it gets on your goat after 25 years in a way. Because there are real life challenges that people face here, which brings up a lot of concerns. And these are not able to be integrated into our development planning, not only in the physical manifestation of the city, but also in the infrastructure, in the social services and stuff like that. It creates a certain mood within the inhabitants where we are quick to take offense, very, very difficult to get to do any trust building, to sit around the table, because after a certain point, you have a certain kind of a mood that comes in from the establishment, so to say, the legitimate organization part of the community, which sits in many of the working groups, who actually play from outside the system. Because a large part of our governance structure is not dependent on the system. The individuals who inhabit our governance structure are not part of the system in the real day-to-day life. They do not live with the challenges that we face here. And you cannot ask people to come back to the table and cooperate every few years when you want to just get another government endorsement from the government of India, just so that you can move forward with something which has nothing to do with what is going on here. Now we face the UNESCO heritage status, or you know, something like this and something like that. And this keeps our governing boards busy. It keeps our working groups busy. But people self-organize and get on with whatever they're doing. And the conflict arises when the self-organizing capacity of the community meets breaks constantly. We say, you don't feel like taking our concerns into practice, fine. But then leave us alone also. It's neither there nor. It's you have to constantly be churned over and then spun out of any participation. And any participatory organization that comes forward trying to structure on a grassroots level to take planning forward is filled with people who are totally cynical after some point. So you cannot make the bridge between the two groups either. And if you're somebody trying to make the bridge, you're constantly running back and forth, saying, okay, you guys agree to this, and then you go to the other one, they say, no, if those guys are coming to the table, we are not. So you convince them and you bring them, meanwhile they back out on their agreement. And few groups that are trying to do this bridging just wear them out, people get worn out and they drop out. So we never have continuity. Yeah? And it's really a people story. The interpersonal interaction of taking concerns is so difficult here because the physical interpretation is so literal. It's almost proto-religious in some organizations here.
If I can just step in for a second here, because I've seen some of that process, and I think, you know, there's a lot of history in this room. There's a lot of history, some of it is positive, some of it is negative, a lot of it is, well, some of it is cynical also. And that's part of, I guess, the whole challenge of trying to build something around human unity. But I mean, you know, I made an earlier intervention that was at a different level. I'm going to make another intervention just now. The first thing is, if you look at the objective reality, okay, and we start with the hard ones, which are very objective constraint. Death is still with us. Money is still with us. Those are absolute boundary constraints. Okay? That hasn't changed. We may be working towards changing them, but they haven't changed. Mother worked towards changing them, but they haven't changed. Orville is working towards them, but they haven't changed. If you look at that in that framework, you have to engage with the objective reality around you. And if you look at the objective reality, then Orville is not economically sustainable. It isn't. It's not environmentally sustainable on some counts.
Yes.
Well, on some counts. And I think it's important for us to unbundle what those counts are and whether one can actually go there, which is what Peter was talking about. Once you have a brief and you have some objective ways of looking at it, you can start looking at it. And an objective doesn't mean in a Western rational sense. Something that we can collectively share and move towards. Okay, so that's an operational reality. And if we are not economically sustainable, we are now within a frame that is defined by, in spite of all what we say, by the nation state in which we are part of. It's nice to say that Orwell, you know, follows Indian law and it's international. Like, the reality is, as far as people's visas are concerned and 10,000 other things, you're within the Indian nation state. And the Indian nation state has given you some space to do certain things. There are huge numbers of constraints. Your land is under considerable assault. The entire sort of boundaries of Orwell, if you just have to look at the satellite maps, you have to travel around, are under assault. These are the actual practical realities that you're dealing with. So one has to get real in that context and also respond to those things. If you don't deal with them, you know, the long run is wonderful, but you're not there. And I think that, and the core answer to that in my own limited understanding is around people. And you can see that. Your populations have not grown significantly. The project was meant to be over in 5 years and all that kind of other stuff, but forget all of that. At the moment, if your populations don't grow, if people don't actually engage with the project will not happen in a practical manner. It won't happen. So one has to create the conditions to do that. And I mean, you know, this is a discussion that you've had so many times. You know what it is. You need housing, you need bring people in, you have to have an economy that's not subsidized, because otherwise the outside will try and crush you as far as that's concerned. But the core thing is people. So the beautiful thing that you have is that you have such tremendous resource inside here. And I know many people have been trying to bridge the gaps between various groups and factions that have evolved here. But if you don't get your act together on that, I'm again, when I said that window is very narrow. India is itself a hypothesis. Remember, India is a hypothesis, serious hypothesis. In 1947, that hypothesis was tested. And, you know, India was partitioned. India is still a hypothesis. People thought that Andhra Pradesh was what it was, but it's now going to split into maybe two or three regions. So you must live within that concrete reality. And, you know, and I think the way around that is really to be able to go beyond the thing that I find most challenging in the room. And it's nice to talk about ego, but there are so many individual egos in so many rooms that I've seen, that is, I think, one of the most significant challenges that we have here. We have to step beyond that, because if we don't, the project doesn't go further. And nor does our own development go further.
But I do think I understand some of what's going on here, and I have a couple of rather abstract comments. I'm not sure they help, but one is we're talking about, as we were saying, the material and the spiritual, or however we describe it. The material world is both a clock and a mirror. It's, as a clock, it's incredibly important to civilizations everywhere. It tells us who we are by showing us where we've been. And the conservative nature about what we change and don't, like Luigi's talking about, is trying to keep the clock real and ensure that we remember who we are when we look around and live our daily lives, because they pass on a fast basis, and the environment we've created is much slower, and it serves a very important function. And all around the world, you can see the effect of rapid change in environments and a loss of identity in the material environment when you go to modern cities and can't tell where the heck you are. In fact, forget modern cities. Let me tell you about British Columbia, where I live. I could take the resident of Abbotsford, a small community outside of Vancouver, and put them in any one of the other communities in the valley, downtown, with their blindfold on. Take the blindfold off, and they wouldn't know which one they were in. It's like that all across Middle America. The homogeneity of the built environment is appalling, and it's an insult to all of us. It's also a mirror. As a mirror, it reflects who we are. You cannot fake it. Your built environment is who you are, and I see that all over the world, and anybody works like I do. You go to China and you can see the economy literally privatized, but the big Stalinist buildings suddenly have all these little infills and there's more things happening on the street. It's just, they're so closely tied, what we build and how we think. Which raises a question, doesn't it, for Oroville? If you're having trouble building the 50,000 city that Tuan's talking about, what is required in how you think and relate to each other to make that possible? And if I could generalize from my personal experience, when I run into problems, I can't seem to solve this thing, it's really bothering me, it's usually because I've underestimated the size of the task. And I think that the task here around the next phase, let's say, of Oroville, or where things are going, roadmap, or how the sprawl becomes a city and so forth, it's probably a bigger challenge than any of us recognize, and it begins with how we relate to each other and how we think, and then it gets expressed in our built environment. And so, if anything, and this has, I've warned you, rather abstract, but if anything, the process of coming to agreement is part of the solution, how we respect each other absolutely. And as I go from one community to another, I see particularly the level of respect for others, younger people for older people, and vice versa, especially that generational respect. It's so valuable in helping groups come to agreement on where they're going here, and I think that may be part of the design challenge. Thanks.
Thank you.
Can I use
Aro,
that
how
one?
Long yeah. How okay. long we continue, I think?
Yeah.
Well, my only response is, Lalit has been saying dinner is ready, lunch is ready. My own sense is, this conversation is probably more important than the lunch. Yeah. But that's something that you have to discuss, and maybe I should ask Sebastian that, because you're okay? Peter, are you okay? You're not dying of hunger? So, you decide how long it lasts.
I mean, yeah,
I mean, I would like one to less say meal is not going to take us to whatever it is. So,
I would like, I really would like to say something to that. Already jumping when Luigi was speaking, though I can subscribe to most of what he said. But what I find in the 35 years being here, the biggest rift between us is the interpretation of the ideal and how it is to be translated and to be done. And to force an ideal down in the image of a moment where the mother was still alive and wanted the 50,000 now, this is a big problem. And to mix up the in the form, a pattern, with the essentials, and to push that down also, it's another big one. So there we are really split in a way, and we cannot reach, even not in trying to work together. And as long as we are not doing that, working together, the economic challenge will never be solved, the land issue will not be solved because we are not together. That's it. And human unity and diversity means collaboration. And we didn't make it because we are very strong individuals here, everybody has own dream. But on that level, I find the whole global challenge between spirituality and religion is played out in planning as well. And this has to be tackled, and it has to be tackled in an open space where not one section or the other, I'm not pointing fingers, says we have the truth, and that's the most important thing. So there we are. And there you can help us, because I found you're reflecting the global best insights into our cauldron, yeah, where we all respect each other on a certain level, but on certain others we can't reach because we are in a different world and we cannot jump over our own ego, whatever. So this has to be done, and there has to be a new game played here. And we're trying also since some time to get it into the system, yeah. And not, that means even Lavenir, since years and years, top down, bottom up. But where is it? And how to do it, because there are many ways to understand it. So this is what I wanted to say. And you said it also, but also in regard to the economic.
Can I catch that?
Issues, this is related to that, because we are not together, we are not pulling on the same string, we are separated, fragmented, and that is the, and the big guideline is not there anymore. Yeah, and one more thing.
No, one more thing to set the record straight, and this should be studied.
I got from Jill a very clear story that the galaxy, which is now our imprint here in front of us, which I personally like very much and would like to support it even, was not what Mother said was the formation Roger got. It was the star, the nebula. So this is a very interesting detail because it tells us how we make things up, not even knowing it or wanting to. Yeah. So careful. Religion is a very, very religious element in us because we want security, we want a clear line, but we can't do it a shortcut. No way.